praise God. Well, exciting for the kids. We've all been very excited about going out and having the opportunity to minister and just to show the love of Christ in that way. So it's really exciting to see the kids doing that today. We've been looking at Amazing Grace, and I want to keep talking about that. That's our theme for the year, Amazing Grace. And today I want to talk about the throne of grace. The scripture talks about the throne of grace. And so you can just turn to Hebrews chapter 4, get your Bible out, Hebrews chapter 4, and it'll come up on the screen, that verse, but there's a passage that we'll read in Revelations in a moment, so you'll need to follow that along. So hopefully you haven't got lazy, you're bringing your Word of God with you, bringing your Bible, and because we'll be opening another passage in a little while. But I really want to talk about this passage this morning about the throne of grace. The words that we've had, even the worship this morning, have been looking at the throne, the one who is seated upon the throne. I want to talk about the throne of grace. So Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." I want to talk about the throne of grace. We've been singing about the throne and Him is seated upon the throne. I want to talk about that area of the throne of grace, because sometimes when we talk about grace, we need to understand it, but sometimes people can take liberties with grace and misunderstand really how it works and how we need to relate to God. But it talks about approaching the throne of grace and doing that with confidence. I want to talk momentarily about the actual throne of God. And Pastor John already read a scripture this morning about God on the throne. But Psalm 47 verse 8, it says, "God reigns over the nations. God is seated on His holy throne." And so you can just picture that in your mind, and we'll have a look at what your picture is and maybe what the reality is. Maybe they're not the same thing. But God is seated, the one who reigns over the nations. God is seated on His holy throne. And in Psalm, it says there, "The Lord reigns forever. He has established His throne for judgment." The Lord reigns forever. He has established His throne forever. 9:7. He reigns forever. So He is the eternal God. He reigns on His throne, and He's established His throne for judgment. I want to talk about this aspect of the throne and this judgment aspect of the throne in just a little while. But we're talking about His throne, the throne of grace. We talk about a throne. Well, immediately what you think about when you think of a throne, you think of a king. That's what kings and thrones, they sort of hang out together. The king sits upon his throne. When you think about a throne, you think maybe of power. But that is the seat of all power. The seat of authority is invested where the king is on the throne. That is where the divine edicts, the decrees, the words are given. The rules, the laws are passed from the throne. So is a place of judgment where people would come. And if there's a dispute, people would come and they would appeal to the king and say, "King, resolve this. This person has done this." And a place of even judgment. But it's interesting that God, of course, His throne, the throne of grace. Did you have a look at some thrones? There's a couple of pictures. You want to throw these up, a couple of photos of thrones. These are some ideas of a throne. Now, when you picture a throne, maybe this is what you think. Maybe you think of our queen. We actually still have a queen. We have the Queen of Australia, Queen Elizabeth, and she sits on a throne, maybe something a little bit like that, a nice ornate sort of throne. That's not actually her throne, but she sits on a throne. And there's a couple more thrones that you can have a look at. So there you've got an Egyptian throne, and there's an Asian type of throne. Actually, I think it's a Babylonian type of throne there. A couple of different sorts of thrones. And we have a different picture of the throne, and maybe of the throne of God. You see Him sitting on a little chair, little bits of gold on it, and maybe God's sitting there. Let's have a look at Revelation chapter 4, because that gives you a picture of the throne. We're going to read Revelation chapter 4, the whole chapter. It's only 11 verses. It won't take all that long, so you can follow along in your Bible. Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, reading from the NIV. It says, "After this I looked, and there before me," this is verse 1, "before me was a door standing open in heaven." Wow, imagine that vision. Bang, there's a door, and you can see into heaven. And then so this is John speaking. "And the voice I heard first speaking to me like a trumpet," it's a pretty loud voice, "says, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.' At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. And they were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne came flashes of lightning, rumbles and peals of thunder. Before the throne, the seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God, or the sevenfold spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Also before the throne was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. And in the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered in eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second was like an ox, the third had a face of the man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. The different aspects which really represent the aspects of Christ. Each of the Gospels actually is one of those different aspects. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Wherever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O Lord of God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." This incredible picture of this massive throne, the appearance of the blinding light of the one who sits upon the throne, the rainbow around it like emerald around it, and the pearls of thunder and lightning. That's a pretty impressive picture. Imagine the special effects. We couldn't duplicate anything like that, this incredible picture of the throne of God. And that is where our living God, our God, is seated upon the throne in majesty. And that's the picture of what it is. And when I'm worshiping God, that's the picture that I have. I say, "God, you are awesome. You are holy. You are above all things. All power and majesty is before you." And so we're not very casual and flippant in the presence of God, even though it says approach with confidence. We know who God is. He is the ruler, the creator of all things. And so we come before him in humility and say, "God, you are worthy, Lord." And if I see him on the throne, the one who's seated upon the throne, every part of me just, you sort of want to yield your spirit before him. And as you come before him, they had to bow before, people would come before a human king and fall at their feet. Imagine the King of Glory in all his majesty and his splendor. Because that's when we are worshiping together, corporately lifting our hands and our voices. That's where you are. You're coming before the mighty throne of him who is seated upon the throne. And he is a high and lifted up God. He is holy and he is righteous. He is powerful. He is mighty. He is victorious. He is all life, all substance come from him who sits upon the throne. And sometimes, when we're talking about the throne of grace, but sometimes when we talk about grace, some people begin to misunderstand the application of grace. Now, grace is something that is not deserved, is something that is unmerited, something that it's what God does when we don't even deserve it. That's what grace is, his grace to us. But once people get a little understanding of grace, some people can become very casual in their relationship with God. The scripture says to approach with confidence. But some people become very flippant in their attitude, in their approach to God. "Oh, hey, dude, how are you, buddy, God?" And this really, you know, irreverent almost. We approach God with confidence, but we've got to remember who God is. Remember who God is. He who sits upon the throne in majesty and splendor, and he is our loving Father who embraces us. But there's a sense when we approach God, we've got to honor him for who he is. And some people, when we talk about grace, they think, "Oh, well, grace then is just like a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's a do-what-you-like-whenever-you-want card. That because of grace, I can do whatever I want whenever I want, and all I have to do is say, 'Oh, sorry, God,' at the end of it, and then it's all okay." But that's, it actually says in Jude 1:4, it says, "For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license from immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord." And sometimes when we start getting grace, you think, "Oh, grace means I can do whatever I like, whenever I want, and just say, 'Gee, I'm sorry, God,' and it's all okay." Well, there's something I've already spoken previously as we talked about this, the difference between sorrow and repentance. And I don't need to go through those things again. Whenever we come with true repentance, We can find His grace and we can find His mercy. But we can't be casual and flippant in our relationship with the Holy God, the Lord of all. And it's not a do whatever you like. In the early history of the Catholic Church, they had these things called indulgences. Well, you could go there and pay a hefty sum of money, but once you've paid for that, you can do what you like. I would like to go steal some money over the steal and rob a bank. I'll just get a steal some money from the robber bank stealing card. Here's my money. Bang, here's your official. Just say, sorry, here it is. You're already forgiven in advance. Just show this around. Go do whatever you like. Bang, and it's all okay. And they used to sell that. That's how a lot of the wealth was generated in those very early years, from the practice of selling these indulgences. But some people live their life as if I can live it as flippantly and do whatever I want whenever I want, and it doesn't really matter because all I have to say is, gee, I'm sorry, God, and it's all okay. But Romans 6, I haven't got this in your notes this morning, but Romans 6, 1, it says, so what shall we say then? Shall sin abound because of grace? It says, no way. No, it says, if you've died to sin, how can you live in that any longer? We begin to understand something of who God is and who He's made us to be. But we've got a sense of the awesome holiness of God. And we're not flippant about the things of God. That when we're before God and worship, we're there wholeheartedly. We'd not come before a human king and say, oh, you're the king. Oh, well, off with your head, buddy. Well, God's not going to chop our head off. But He is worthy of honor. He is the exalted King of glory. And we need to approach Him with that sense of fear in our heart. Not fear to do with punishment, but an awe and saying, God, You are a worthy God. You are a holy God. And Lord, I just yield every part of my being, everything to You who is worthy, who is full of honor and glory. And that's the heart that we have. See, someone once said to me, and someone said, he's not around here anymore, but he says, look, it's okay. Doesn't matter whatever you do. He says, I can go down and I go down and I go to the pokies and I go down there. And as long as I come and afterwards I repent and say, I'm sorry, it doesn't matter that I do that. So every week was the ritual, 3 or 4 times a day, go down the pokies 3 or 4 times a day. And once a week, and usually on a Sunday, come and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I'm okay now, then I'll go do it again. And off we go, throwing away everything that God's given in many different ways. And that's the wrong heart. That's the wrong understanding of grace, because that understanding of grace is there's no honor and respecting of God and who He is and what He's done for us, what Christ has done for us, if that is our heart attitudes, thinking that it doesn't really matter. Now, we know the reality is that we all fall and we all sin in many ways, even as the Scripture says. And when we do, we know that we can bring that before God. But our attitude, when we think, oh, well, grace means I can do whatever I want whenever I like, it doesn't work that way. It says that for those who think, well, I can just be immoral and or I can steal and I can do whatever I like, it doesn't matter. It says they deny Jesus Christ as the sovereign Lord. They deny Him in doing that. See, there's two sides when you come to God. God is a being that has two major areas of His character. Fundamentally, God is love. And out of the loving side of God is where we experience His grace and His love. So God is love. Part of the nature of God, that God is love. But there's also the other part of God, where God is just and He is holy and He is righteous. So God has these two things, two parts of Him, two aspects of God's character. The loving God, the Heavenly Father who wants to love and embrace us. But at the same time is a holy and righteous and just God. Now the dilemma, of course, is when man comes to Him and a sinful man comes before God, then the justice side of God demands that his sin is dealt with and punished, because He is a holy God. He will not put up with any nonsense. Justice declares and decrees that this sin must be dealt with and must be punished. The flip side of God says, my heart of compassion is, I don't want anyone to perish. I don't want to see anyone go to hell. I don't want to see anyone suffer. And so God has this side, justice, and He has the side of love within His heart to people. And that's why when people come before God, is that how do they approach God? Because everyone will approach God on one of those two bases. You'll come to God and you will face Him either on the holy and righteousness side of maybe needing punishment, or the loving side, or actually having those two things reconciled together. Because the way that God reconciled those two things for us was through Jesus Christ. Because by sending Jesus to die, we couldn't do anything about it. We were going to come under the judgment, come under all of those things. But Jesus coming, Jesus dying in our place, he took the punishment, so justice and holiness and righteousness is satisfied. There's no further punishment to be done because Jesus took it for us, satisfied the justice, satisfied the need for holiness, satisfied the need for righteousness, and unlocked the door just for the unbridled love of God to be poured upon our lives. It's very important and very powerful. But we've got to see how even the throne of grace actually has these two sides of God's character. If you have a look in Psalm 97, verse 2, it talks about this throne. This is the throne of grace we're talking about. But this throne is on a foundation. And the grace of God is actually built on a foundation. It comes from something because it's not all just sloppy. Do whatever you like, whenever you like. It doesn't work that way. Psalm 97, 2, it says, clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. And so underpinning this incredible grace is the foundation of justice and righteousness. Psalm 89, 14 also says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. So the love of God and the mercy and the grace of God, all of those things are founded on the holiness, on the righteousness of God. And we've got to understand that so that God wants us to live such a life that is based on that foundation. We approach the throne of grace, but that call of righteousness and holiness, God has that, wants that for our lives. And so we need to understand that. But both of these aspects of the nature of God, when we're approaching God, whenever you come before God, you're approaching him on the basis of both things, that he is holy, that he is righteous, but also that he is loving. The only way we can do that is because of Jesus Christ. It's the only way we can do that with confidence. Because this throne, even though it's the throne of grace, is also a place of judgment. It's a place of power. It's where divine edicts are given out when God executes and says his word to go forth. But it is also a seat of judgment because ultimately everybody will come into this place when they die and they will stand before the judgment seat. Let's read this in Revelation 20, 11 to 15. Now this is after. This is after the return of Christ. Christ has come back. All those that are dead in Christ, they rise up from the ground. We who love Jesus are still alive. We're caught together up with him in the air. Every eye will see, the scripture says. Everyone will see. So it's not going to be secretly, oh, I wonder what happened. Oh, they're gone. No. Every eye will see. And we're caught up together. You'll come like a thief in the night, suddenly, unexpectedly, with a violence, a very obvious thing. And so we get caught up in the air with him. And it says then, and then it begins the millennial reign of Christ, where he reigns upon this earth for 1,000 years, and it be ruled and reign with him on this earth. And then after that, there's the great big battle, and then all the books are open at the end of the age for this great white throne judgment. And this is what it says in Revelation 20:11. It says, then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. We have our own book of life, this book of life prayer. And that's why we've got the names of our family, our friends, our loved ones. We've got them down written in this book, and we pray over them because we want to, when the push comes to shove on the end of the age, when the book of life in heaven is open, we want the people we've put in here to be in his book of life. That's why we're there. That's why we pray for people, because we want them to be in this book. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the book. So there's other books. Something wrong? Write it down. They did something wrong? Write it down, write it down, write it down, write it down. Some people might say, whoa, look at this guy. Look at the books for his life. Boom. Day one. Pood nappy. You know, whatever it is goes all the way through everything of the life of these books that are open. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and the death and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And we're talking about eternal judgment here. We're not just talking about a bad day. It says eternal pain and suffering forever and ever and ever. Someone said to me once, he said, well, God's a loving God, you know, surely after a while, after these people have been in hell for a little while, surely he's going to give them a second go. Well, that's a lovely little sentiment, but it's certainly not scriptural and it's not the reality. We live this life we live for the purpose of coming into relationship with our Heavenly Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we either do that or we don't do that. And it all comes down to that. And at the end of the age, when the books are open, it comes down to that one thing. Is your name in the book or isn't it in the name? Is your name in the book or isn't it in that book? Because when we come to Christ, the scripture says that when we accept what Christ has done on the cross, all of the books about your life are gone. They don't exist anymore. There is no bad books. You can't be in God's bad books anymore because the bad books are gone when we gave our life to Christ. Those things are taken away. And so that when we as believers who have given our life to Christ stand before the great white throne, it says that we stand, it says, for all must appear, 2 Corinthians 5:10, before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due to him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. And when believers stand before Christ, when we stand before the great judgment seat, we're not going to be judged according to the bad that we've done because Christ has taken that. He's got the books. He's cancelled them out. There's nothing in them. They're gone. There's nothing you've ever done wrong because Jesus took all the stuff. He satisfied the righteousness, the justice side of God by dying on the cross in our place. So the only books that are going to be there with your name on it, and I pray your name is on the book of life, and if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, it will be. But is what you've done, the good things that you've done. And so the judgment that believers receive is for a reward. Well done, you good and faithful servant. Gadgen, the way that you get that person over there, that was fantastic. You didn't even know I wrote it down. But when you blessed that person, I wrote it down. When you made that casserole, Doris, I actually wrote it down. It's actually there. And I'm going to reward you for doing that. You think, gee, I didn't even think about it. I don't even remember it. Don't worry, we wrote it down, it happened, and we're going to bless you and reward you for that. So those who know Christ will be judged for reward according to what they've done. But we've got to be careful, even as believers, that we don't think, oh, well, I'm saved now by grace, because that's not a do as you like when you want type of thing. Because ultimately, once we come into relationship with Christ, the things that we really want to do is to worship and honor our risen King. We want to serve him with every day of our life. The scripture says that if we blow it or fall, whether small or big, if we come to him and confess our sin, we really repent and turn from that. He's faithful and just to forgive us. And so we can still come to the throne of grace. But I don't want us, as we've been talking about grace this year, to become sloppy and think, oh, well, it's all take it or leave it. I'll go some weeks and worship, other days, or I'm just too busy, or doesn't matter what I do. He doesn't really care about this sin in my life. It doesn't really matter because I'm forgiven. Well, it does matter because God wants a holiness. Scripture says, be holy, Matthew 5:48. Be holy even as I am holy, says the Lord. And he is interested in our living our lives. And we know that the justice side of God is satisfied because of Jesus Christ. But our heart is, Lord, I want to live in holiness. Lord, I want to work in holiness because I know who you are, God. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You're the ruler. You're the creator of heaven and earth, Lord. And I want to live my life in such a way that gives you delight, that gives you joy. And then we can freely, confidently come to him because of Jesus Christ. That's where our confidence from. But don't mess with God. He's a righteous and holy God. Let's treat him and live our lives in reverence and in awe of the one who sits upon the throne, our Lord Jesus Christ. But see, it's interesting when we think of the throne of God, when they read it in the scripture, yes, it's founded on righteousness and justice. And how we live our life is so very important to God. But he doesn't actually call it the throne of power. I think if I was going to write a impressive name for a throne, I would have said the throne of power. And doesn't that sound pretty cool? You know, what do you say? I'm on the throne of power, you know, because it sounds really good. Or he could have said, this is the throne of judgment. And so that everybody, when they think of God, they think, man, it's just judgment time. A lot of people who don't know God, and they really should be fearful of dying. Because if they don't know Jesus, then they're going to stand before the judge one day. But we have no fear of death or dying. And as Pastor John was sharing and shared that he was able to lead his cousin to the Lord. What a joy that is, because there's no fear. As Mary read a communion, death, where is your sting? Doesn't affect us, because we know where our name is in the book of life. We come into relationship with Jesus Christ. And so because of Christ, we can have confidence before him. But my encouragement to us as we've learned about grace, don't let's be sloppy and casual in our relationship with God and the way that we live our lives. Let's not be like that. Let's be diligent in the things of God because of who he is. Because of who he is. It's because of what Christ has done is that we can get anywhere near this throne. If it wasn't for Christ, it wasn't for him dying on the cross, if the sky and the earth are fleeing from the throne of God, what are you going to do? We're going to run as far as we can. But because of Jesus Christ, because he took our sin, he died in our place, all our sin upon himself, satisfied judgment, satisfied justice, we can actually have confidence before the throne of God. And he doesn't call it the throne of power, doesn't call it the throne of judgment, but it's the throne of grace. And that's the thing that blows me away. You think of God, how holy he is, how awesome, how powerful he is, but he's not sitting up there saying, you know, power and judgment. He's sitting up there and says, love and grace. And that's available to every one of us. If anyone doesn't know Jesus Christ, then first thing I would be doing this morning is I'd be checking out my name. Is my name in the book of life? Not this one. Probably is if you're here and we're praying for you. But I'd say, God, I want to know my name is in the book of heaven. I had a dream once many years ago where it was similar to... I actually saw like a little snapshot of heaven, and it was like a little room. Everything was sort of bright and gold. And all it was somebody that I'd been praying for. I really wanted to see this person saved. And all it was is I saw this big, whopping big book open up. It was full of names everywhere, but you know, like they have on, I don't know, some adverts or whatever, you look at something and they sort of highlight one little bit. As I had this thing, this big book was open up, bang, there on this big book was the name, sort of with a little light sort of square around it, was the person I've been praying for. It was like the same God reassuring me, now this person is in my book. They're going to be in the kingdom of God. And so I praised God for that. And my prayer is that all of us, that you know confidently that your name is in the book of life. If you love Jesus Christ and not just, yes, Lord, I love you. Forgive me. Have a nice day. But Lord, no, I love you. Lord, forgive me, Lord. I know that I cannot stand before God without you. And Lord, I accept Jesus into my life, what you've done for me, that all of the sin and junk which righteously and rightly should be judged, Lord, that you've taken that and you cleanse me of all that rubbish. And so that when I stand before the throne, I stand not worried about, oh, what books are they going to bring out on me? What dirt have they got on me? Because there's no dirt. Jesus' blood has taken that, washed all that away. So we can stand before him confidently on the day of judgment. We can approach the throne of grace because of Jesus Christ and come to him. But let's not be sloppy in our relationship with God. Still remember who he is. Have that awe and reverence of God as we approach him. 1 John 4:16 says, and so now we know and rely on the love of God he has for us. Because if we only ever relate to God, and some people, even believers, they struggle in relating to God because all they ever see is the judge. All they ever see is the justice and the holiness. And they look at their lives and say, God, I can't do that. How can I ever be in whatever? I can't do it. Well, you can't. That's the bottom line. But Christ has done it, and he gives us a capacity by the sanctifying, the working of the Holy Spirit in our life, that we can actually live in a way, and that we can have confidence before the throne of God. You've given your heart to Jesus Christ, you can come confidently before his throne. And so, again, back to 1 John 4:16. And so we know and rely on the love of God for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love. It says, because perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. Some people are terrified, oh no, I'm going to get punished. Well, we relate to God with fear, but not a fear of punishment, but as a, wow, you're a pretty awesome God. You're the creator of heaven and earth. All power and majesty is entrusted to you, Lord. And I honor that. I honor for who you are. It blows my mind that you let me approach you. You let me embrace you. You let me have your arms thrown around me, and you let me love you and be loved of you. But I know of who you are. There's no fear in love, because perfect love is perfect love. It's for every one of us. It drives out fear. Fear is to do with punishment. So Christians, we should never be living in fear. Fear and punishment are linked intrinsically together. And so we are without fear, because we're without punishment if we surrendered our life to Jesus Christ. And our heart is not to treat him flippantly, but to honor who he is. And with the best that we can, and sure we fail, we fall, we all do in many ways at different times, but we say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, and if we bring something, if we know of it, we repent of it, say, Lord, forgive me, Lord. How can I do that to you, Lord, who is holy? And how can I do that to you, Lord Jesus Christ, who gave everything for me? And we turn and we repent, and then God lifts us up and says, it's okay, my child. Justice has been satisfied by Jesus Christ, and we can come confidently before the throne of grace. So we know and we rely on the love that God has for us. And the wonderful thing is that God, who has a throne, doesn't call it the throne of power, not the throne of judgment, but calls it the throne of grace, that we can confidently come. And he says that when you have a hassle, guys, when you have a problem, you can come to me. Now, if I was in the olden days when they had kings in England and kings in many different nations, France, all the many nations that have had kings, all the Scandinavian countries, you name it, Russia, all of them had kings at different times, to go before them, you'd be trembling in their boots. You even remember Esther, Queen Esther. She's the queen. She goes before her husband, the king, with fear and trembling. She looks the wrong way, says the wrong thing. You're dead, Queen Esther. And so the queen, she was terrified of her husband, who was the king, approaching his throne. And if you went there with a bad look on your face, even you look at Nehemiah, who was cupbearer to the king, he knew that if he went before God, before his king, Nehemiah came before the king with a bad attitude or a bad look on his face, well, his head and the rest of his body would become, you know, post-sending each other letters, emails, because they're going to be far away from each other. His head would have been gone. And so, but we have a God, even though he is holy and he is powerful, we still can come to him in our time of need. And it says there, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy. See, people would come and they would plead for mercy. Well, we can come before God and we don't have to beg for it. We don't have to plead for it. We just come before his throne and we receive his mercy so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. What a wonderful thing it is. If you're going through something in your life, a struggle, and in the grand scheme of your life, it probably isn't a big deal. You're going through something. At the time, everything we go through in our lives, when we're going through it, it's a big deal, isn't it? Whatever the problem is, you get a flat tire, you've got to go somewhere. At that moment in time, it's a big deal because you've got a flat tire, because you're going to be there, you've got to be there, you're going to be late, you're going to be late. It's all. So this flat tire is suddenly a big deal. But in a week's time, okay, it's a flat tire. Really doesn't matter so much. In a year, you won't even remember that you had a flat tire. Now I said flat tire, some of you remembering, oh yeah, I had one. But it doesn't mean anything. And even some of the big struggles that we go in through our lives, really, they really don't mean anything. They're really not a big deal. But at the time, they seem like a big deal and they feel like a big deal. And certainly, so when we're going through something, and maybe in a week, a year, 2 years, it won't be a big deal. But right now, we're struggling, we're going through something. And the scripture says is that we can come before the holy, creator, powerful, one who made the universe, where there's pearls of lightning and flashings and thunder and all this sort of stuff going on. And he cares about my problem. He cares about it. And I might not even care about it in a year's time or a week's time, or I might even not remember. But right now, he actually cares about me. And that blows my mind away, that I can actually bring this thing to him who just loves me so much that he actually wants to meet me and wants to help me, excuse me, in my time of need. And so that blows me away, that we can approach God and we can come confidently and get help in the time of need. We can come before him. It says, Hebrews 10:9, it says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. On our own merits, we can't even get near the door. You can't even get near. In fact, the sky and the earth are running away. You better get out of there as quickly as you can. But we don't have to be fearful of God in that sense. But we can confidently come because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. We can come before him. In 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17, it says, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. I love that. Eternal encouragement. It's always there for us. Always having that encouragement. Whenever you need encouragement in your life, then he's actually got it for us. When there's no hope, he's always got hope for us. He's always got encouragement. He gives us eternal encouragement and good hope. May he encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. And so there is help for us in our time of need. That blows me away. So I want to say a couple of things this morning. Just remember who God is. Honor God for who he is. No, I can't be bothered. I'm tired today. I'm not going to worship today. I had a bad night last night. Didn't really sleep. Da-da-da-da. And so I'm just going, you know, I'm in the presence of the Most High God. I had a bad day. I'm worshiping the Most High God. Am I going to be flippant in my relationship with him or in the way that I live my life, just sinning, doing what I like? Nah. I remember God for who he is. And I have a deep relationship. We have a deep relationship with him because of Jesus Christ. And we can confidently come before him. Whatever we've done, it doesn't matter. Because of Jesus Christ, because of his love and his forgiveness of our sins, the entry in the book is gone. All the books aren't even there, actually. There's no books. The only books that we have are for reward only when we are in the kingdom of God. And when we have a need, he is there to help us. And as you're here this morning, some of you have a need. And sometimes when you think about it, sometimes you think, oh, God's not really interested in that. He is interested in it. He's interested in you to the point of death. He's very interested in you. He's interested in your struggles. You're struggling with an assignment or exams or pressure with work or family or finances or whatever it is. God really cares about it. And it says that if we come to him, he says we may receive grace, find mercy, receive mercy and find grace to help us. God wants to help us. And he's helping us out of who he is, out of all power, of all authority, all dominion. And God is well able to help us in whatever circumstances of our lives. So let's not treat God flippantly. Let's honor God for who he is. Let's worship him with everything that we have. When we gather together, man, you are before the living God who it demands our worship. And, you know, we talk about choosing to worship. Well, I'm choosing, but really, if I'm before God, how can I do anything but that? The very nature of God demands worship. It demands that love. It demands passion and a holiness in our lives. And sure, we fall and we fail, but fundamentally we say, Lord, no, I'm going to live my life for you. I thank you, Lord, that when I blow it, Lord, I can come before you confidently by the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been set free. I've been washed. You forgive me. You set me on the path. But Lord, I want to walk righteously for you. I want to live my life. That's got to be the cry of our heart. And when we go through a tough time, whether it's large or whether it's small, him who is seated upon the throne, he cares about it. He cares about it. In the middle of your flat tire, he's saying, oh, Lord, help me with this or whatever. Well, he'll help you. He cares about it. You might not even remember that in a week's time or whatever else. God is there. So I want us to stand. I want to pray for us this morning. I want to pray that God just stirs in our own heart a sense of him on the throne, who God is in his majesty, his power. I want us to begin to even look at our lives and our desire and say, yes, Lord, I want to live a life, Lord, that pleases you, Lord. But I thank you, Lord, that I can approach you. So, Father, we just stand here today. We thank you, Father, for who you are. Lord, we stand in awe of you. You are the King of kings and the King of glory. You're the mighty God, Lord. There's nothing higher than you. There's no name greater than you, Lord. You are beyond all things, before all things, Lord. You are high and lifted up. Well, we can't even verbalize how exalted and how high, how holy and how wonderful you are. You're above all things. And Lord, we want to honor you today. And Lord, we recognize, Lord, that we could not come within 100 miles of such a God. But Lord, because of Jesus Christ, because Jesus came and he came down upon this earth and then he died in our place and took the punishment, satisfied righteousness, took my sin, my punishment. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that that has been satisfied. I thank you, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that the throne of grace is open to me, is open to every one of us, Lord, and that we can confidently, Lord, that we can say, yes, Lord, I'm going to live my life for you. And Lord, it's not going to be a struggle because you give me a Holy Spirit to help me. But I'm going to be mindful of who you are every day of my life. I'm going to be mindful of your throne, of how high and lifted you up, Lord. And I want to live a life that is pleasing to you. And I thank you, Lord, that when we muck up, Lord, that we have the throne of grace. Lord, that you're faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. When we forgive our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive all unrighteousness, Lord. I thank you for that promise. And Lord, I thank you for the promise that we have help in our time of need. And Lord, some people might think our need is trivial, but Lord, to us, what we're going through, it's a big need. And Lord, you don't judge us according to what our need is like, Lord. If we have a need, Lord, you care. And Lord, that we have mercy and we have grace. And Father, we just even think of now, of their needs in our lives. I want you to think, well, what's the need of my life? Because God cares about it. He wants you to bring your need to Him. God cares. The one who sits upon the throne, He cares about your need. Just think about it. And then to bring that to Him and say, Lord, in the context of you, it doesn't seem like a lot. In the context of the rest of my life, it probably doesn't seem a lot. But Lord, right now, it means something. And Lord, I bring it to your throne of grace. And Lord, I know that right now I'm receiving your mercy. I'm receiving your grace, Lord, that you're going to help me. And Lord, we receive help now, Lord. Whatever our need is, Lord, we receive your help. Lord, we confidently come before you, Lord, knowing, Lord, that we will receive mercy. And Lord, we receive that now in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray, Lord, if there's anyone that is here, Lord, who hasn't asked Jesus into their life, maybe they believe in God, but Lord, it's not enough. And Father, they've never actually said, no, I want what Jesus did. I want his sacrifice to count for my life. I want to have confidence before the throne of God. I want to know my life is written in that. My name is written in the book of life. I don't want to be wondering. I want to know for sure that my name is there. Father, I pray if there's such a person here today, Father, they will come and say, yeah, look, I want to receive Jesus. I want my name in the book of life, and I want to live my life for God. I want to live my life for His glory. So, Father, we just thank you that you're here right now. Lord, you're ministering to our needs right now. I'm not going to ask you to come forward this morning, but I just want you to hold your hands up before God. And you don't have to, but you come before the throne of grace. I want you to hold up and say, Lord, here I am, first of all. Lord, I come before the holy God. I come before the King of heaven, the Creator of heaven and earth, Lord, and I honor you and I worship you. And Lord, even as I lift my hand, Lord, Lord, here's the need I have. Lord, I have nothing to give you, but Lord, I give you all that I am. And Lord, even my need, Lord, I give it to you, Lord, and I receive your help. Father, just minister to your people this day. Lord, we receive your grace this day. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we're free of all guilt and shame because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we're not condemned in the presence of the Most High God. But Lord, we can lift our head, and stand knowing, Lord, that we are holy and righteous because of Jesus Christ. And we're unashamed in the presence of God. So, Father, we just thank you today. Lord, minister to every heart this day. Minister to every need, Lord. Small or great, Lord, because our need's a need. And, Lord, you care the same. So, Father, we bring them to you now. In Jesus' name, in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just worship him who sits on the throne. Sing, and we just worship him for a moment.